able to rise by herself, though still sore and stiff. Anzuli lay heavily asleep, his narrow face flushed with fever. When Pox had eaten breakfast, Giron and Tamar came to sit near her. "Can you heal?" asked Giron, as calmly as if he asked whether she could eat mutton. She answered as calmly. "I tried to, once, using a medallion of Gerd belonging to a friend. I don't know whether it worked. Wound or sickness?" "An arrow wound."
"And did it heal?"
"Yes, but not at once. It might have been... We found surgeon's salve, and used that as well."
"Did it leave a scar?"
My friend died a few days later." Pox looked down. "I don't know if it worked or not."
"Hmm, I see. And you never tried again?"
She shook her head.
"Why not?"
Pox shrugged. "It never seemed right, necessary. We had surgeons, a mage."
"Healing gifts require careful teaching," murmured Tamar, "or so I have been told. Without instruction, you might never know."
"We must see, then. You have experienced such healing at the hands of others, haven't you?"
"Yes." Pox thought of the paladin in Arrhenius, and of Ambirion in Finn Paneer, and of the Quokkan, so different and yet alike.
"Then you must try."
When she looked at him, surprised despite his earlier words, he smiled.
"You must try sometime, Poxenarian, and you might as well begin here. Anzuli has painful injuries, as have you yourself. Try to heal them, and see what happens."
"But..." She looked at Tamar, who merely smiled.
"We shall tell no tales of it," said Giron. "If you have no such gift, it is no shame to you. Few do. If you come to be a paladin later, it will no doubt be added to you. But here and now you may try, with no prying eyes to see. No god we worship would despise an attempt to heal, and if you succeed, you will know something you need to know, and Anzuli will be able to take the trail again."
"But I have not called on Gerd these several months," said Pox in a whisper. "It seems greedy to ask now."
"And whence his power? You told us he served the High Lord. Call on him, if you will."
Pox shivered. She feared to have such power, yet she feared to know herself without it. She looked up and met Giron's eyes.
"I will try."
Giron picked her up and laid her next to Anzuli. This close, Pox could feel the heat of his fever. She rested her hand on his side, where she thought the ribs might be broken. She did not know what to expect. At first, nothing happened. Pox did not know what to do, and her thoughts were too busy to concentrate on Gerd or the High Lord. She found them wandering back to the Quokkan, to the Duke, to Sabin and Kana. Had she really healed Kana with the High Lord's power? She tried to remember what she had done. She had held the medallion, but now she had no medallion. She looked at Anzuli's face, flushed with fever. She knew nothing of fevers, but that they followed some wounds. "We're short of men," she thought, and wondered that Giron had said nothing of it. Thane had needed her, and more, and now two were dead and another sick. She tried to imagine her way into Anzuli's wound, past the dusky bruises. All at once, the bruise beneath her hand began to fade. She heard Giron's indrawn breath and tried to ignore it. She could feel nothing, in hand or arm, to guide her, to tell her what was occurring, only the fading stain. She looked quickly at Anzuli's face. Sweat beaded his forehead. Under her hand, his breath came longer and easier. Pox felt sweat cold on her own neck.